How long is the intro?
It's about 30 seconds.
I'll wait till we get over it all.
Classic.
Almost.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome to, Game Over Games podcast, episode 2. Today we'll talk about something very interesting.
Yes, we're going to talk about Destiny.
Destiny.
Yeah.
Not the thing that what you have in life. It's actually the game, Destiny. Yeah,
from Bungie.
And then we'll talk about other things like...
Forza 2, Forza Horizon 2.
Yeah, demo.
The Final Fantasy 15 trailer they showed earlier today at Tokyo Game Show.
And also Type-Zero on the side as well.
Borderlands pre-sequel. More ranting about DRM.
Yes. All right, that's going to be involved in the Destiny talk, actually, I reckon.
All right, so let's go jump straight in then.
Exactly. Destiny. Obviously, if you know me, Sticky Ho or Nick, me, doesn't play very much FPSs, for that matter. I mean, I really enjoyed, it's like Bungie's previous work of Halo 1, 2, and 3 and all that kind of thing. But Destiny, it's a bit of a weird game. Because of the reviews I've been watching, I haven't actually played the game, but I'm watching a lot of people play on Twitch and everything else. And Stu here, has also tried it out himself, and he sort of said, "What was your thoughts on that?"
Well, I've played. I'm only level 8 at the moment. I've created two characters: Titan.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten what the other one was.
Hunter or Warlock.
Oh yeah, Hunter. I haven't done the Warlock yet. So I found that the Titan was better for me than the Hunter. And I'm playing through the campaign, playing through the story mode, currently on the moon. But I find that a lot of the missions that you get is you're just repeating yourself, keep going back to the same location, and for me it's quite repetitive.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to some people when I play on the day. I mean, they all they said it was doing, they just kept on doing the same mission again, just to level themselves up.
Yeah.
Before they move on to the next mission.
Also, gamers have found a way to basically what they're doing. They are dying. They're killing themselves so they can respawn the enemies and then carry on leveling up.
Really?
Yeah, they've hacked it, yeah.
That's just bad, isn't it? Yeah. Really bad gaming. I mean, they spent so much time making them and all the hype and everything. I mean, a lot of people would just... I mean, it was almost like a honeymoon period, you know what I mean? When they get the game, they think, oh, this is great, it's Destiny. Oh my God, Bungie made it. Everything's all awesome, you know, all flashy and everything else. But from what I gathered, fair enough. I thought Bungie would make a game like Halo with a strong storyline. But unfortunately, campaign, I mean, that's just silly, isn't it?
It is lacking. For the multiplayer and the Crucible.
That's okay. I mean, but at the end of the day, we just want to talk about the campaign section. Yeah. You can't really play by yourself. You have to be online.
Yeah, and it is an ambitious project from Bungie, creating several gorgeous, radically different worlds to explore. But your goal is always the same. Go kill everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But is this just like another FPS? And then it was like, no, it isn't. It's more like a FPS, RPG, MMO, and then shooter, and then all these things get into one. And it makes, what are you trying to do, Bungie, with Destiny? And the campaign was weak because the other thing is you can't skip dialogues or cutscenes, and you can't seem to basically pause the game whenever you want.
Yeah.
It's quite annoying, and that's why I talked about in the first episode about DRM. This is what DRM is, boiled down to.
Ever since Halo came on, in 2001, that propelled the other hit series like Gears of War, Borderlands, and Killzone.
Exactly.
Destiny seemed to promise something more, but if anything, it's a setback from Halo, which is, at least provided compelling motivation for all the mayhem.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like... there's no storyline to a game, then there's no soul in that kind of sense. I was talking to you about earlier on about how a game hasn't got its own, its image. What are you trying to be? Kind of thing. Are you trying to be a shooter? Are you trying to be an RPG? What? Just figure it out. But that's what Destiny's all about. They can't figure it out.
It's trying to do too much.
Yeah, all at once. And it was a bit of a letdown. I mean, the other thing, obviously, the Crucible. I mean, yeah, it's a multiplayer game and everything else. And, but it's quite annoying that you can't seem to set up your own private match if you want to play with friends and have a fun time and everything, helping each other level up or whatever. But yeah, it's got some good stuff. I mean, obviously graphically and, you know, it's pleasing.
It is, you know, full 1080p and whatnot. But let me just give you a quick breakdown of the story.
Okay.
You know, Destiny takes place in the far future, long after an alien traveller arrived in the solar system to help humans colonise other planets. Unfortunately, the traveller was followed by the darkness. Dun, dun, dun. Determined to lay waste to all its achievements. As the game begins, you're trying to defend the last city of Earth from obliviation. You know, your guardian, being male or female, has one of three races, human, exo-humanoid machines, or awoken, a lot like humans, but with bluish skin. There are also three classes, the heavily armoured titan, the more agile hunter, or the magic-slinging warlock. Although all three have access to the usual assortment of rifles, shotguns, and rocket launchers, but each sphere in the Destiny solar system is infested with a different breed of weapon-wielding pests. You know what I mean? Basically, you just got to go and kill them all.
That's pretty much it. There wasn't much storyline. I was watching a review. I mean, of other people, they say, you know, they weren't even dragged into the campaign. You know, the storyline. There was no storyline to drag in. I mean, fair enough. There's loads of stuff that you said already in that little text. How you know, Earth has gone through all this like changes. You want to find out what happened,
but you don't see any of it.
No.
It's the after effect.
Yeah, and after effect is basically almost a survival game.
Yeah.
It's more trying to be like Last of Us in a way.
That's it. I mean, the scenarios fall into familiar rhythm. You explore an alien site until you reach a checkpoint occupied by enemies, some stronger than others, but mostly cannon fodder for your guardian. After wiping them out, you repeat the process a few times until you finally face off against one of the particularly stubborn adversaries. The settings and opponents change, but predictably, it's it gets kind of tedious after a while.
I mean, isn't it most of the missions you have to just go and kill when that's it?
Yeah, just go and kill.
That's it. Yeah. I mean,
on the odd occasion, you have to deploy your ghost.
Which I don't think. I mean, can't you just do missions where you just go collect stuff, you know, and do some stuff where there's some RPG element into it. Since you've been doing RPG anyway for a shooter, you might as well put elements where you travel certain things or do a race to get money. For example, because you've got those crafts that you can use that you travel through the map. Yeah. Right, can't you use that to do races around there? To, you know, it's like basically after all this has happened, they're doing like illegal racing on some of the planets.
Well, like pod racing.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Is that would make it more interesting. At least you've got some elements where you can actually shoot, but you also race.
Yeah.
Why can't you do that? I mean, you've got those. You've got all the materials there. You just didn't really think about doing that. I mean,
another thing that wasn't quite clear was when you pre-ordered. Now, if you pre-ordered from game, you get the Vanguard edition.
Yeah, I heard about this. Yeah,
but you redeem the Vanguard code and whatever, but you can't access it straight away. You have to become like level 5. First lot becomes available at level 5, and then level 10.
That's clever.
But by the time you get to level 15, you've probably got more better gear than what they're offering.
But at the end of the day, what happens is it's very clever marketing.
Yeah.
It makes you want to build up to level 20 and go, oh, let's try this Vanguard out. Is it any good?
That's it.
You know, but that is annoying. Because, like you said, there is optional, obviously, that will be obsolete because you could probably get better gear by the time you get to level 20. So it's like, all that for nothing. So free stuff. It's like free stuff gives us free content, like something that is solid that I can use. That can progress with my level, or some of the items can progress with your level.
I know.
You know what I mean?
What I do like is that, as you progress, and you pick up extra armor and whatnot, and as you upgrade your character, you can actually upgrade individual stats on your armor. So head, chest, arms, legs, whatever.
Yeah, but you also, it's almost like a socket system, almost like a Diablo, where you can put stuff into it.
You can, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all about material, then. Back to Final Fantasy. You know what I'm saying? Isn't it?
Everything leads back to Final Fantasy.
Exactly. But it's a Bungie wasn't going for something. I mean, the three classes is a bit limited, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I think
they would need... they'd have to give some serious thought into what they're going to do next, or if they're going to introduce other classes. You know, this game, Activision reportedly said it's going to cost them $500 million.
Mm.
They've already made $385 million in 1 week. You know, so they obviously it's gonna turn a profit.
Oh no, but true. But the question is, how long will that last?
Well, they say 10 years. It's a 10-year plan.
Okay, so if it we don't know yet. Obviously, this is just a breakdown and talking about the game. What we do here is basically we just speak our own mind.
But obviously, you guys, if you listen to this podcast, you probably can, you know, leave a comment saying, well, your thoughts are different. You know,
that's what, it, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
why you think the game's better and why you think the game's worse. I myself, not a very big fan of FPSs. I probably will play it, but at the end of the day, after all these reviews and all these words about it, it's like, it's not Bungie. You
for
know.
Me, personally, because I had access to the beta,
yeah,
that was enough for me. I didn't really need to go out and buy the game, but I went out and bought it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm completely disappointed by it.
This was like Watchdog again, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's such an overwhelming disaster.
Yeah, you but we don't know yet, do we? I mean, sales obviously doing quite well. Obviously, it's just all pre-order stuff,
yeah.
Isn't it? And I did say to you at E3 that this was like one of the... You said this to me, actually. You said, if it fails, that'd be so funny.
Yeah.
And I think it is funny. It makes Bungie think about, what the hell are you doing, basically, in a way.
That's it,
yeah.
I mean... Yeah. I mean, if they pull it off, then brilliant, but...
Exactly. If they don't pull it off, then they've got a lot to cover up, haven't they, really?
Well, don't call me, because I bloody knew it.
Exactly, yeah. So you had it here first, and basically, yeah. But anyway, that's our breakdown for now. So basically, give us your comment and your views on how you think about the game itself, and we'll definitely talk to you if you want to talk more about the game.
That's it. Okay, should we move on?
Well, we can, yes. Okay. Next game we're going to move on to...
Forza Horizon 2.
Which, Stu here was actually playing on, he was playing on, he was streaming for a bit, I was watching it, but it was a bit laggy, but,
Yeah, I think that's just due to my internet connection, you know.
But, yeah, give us a breakdown. What was the game like for you when you
picked it up? It looks beautiful. It's really well done, you know, Turn 10 and Playground Studios. They've done a really good job. Obviously, it's only a demo, so you only get a selection of free cars to choose from what I've seen. But you get there's a thing called the bucket list.
Yeah.
So you drive around, and then you'll see a bucket list car. So on the demo, I drove the Corona Zeg,
mm-hmm.
and also nice. you beat the time.
Yeah.
To win points and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. But other than that, it's you know the same sort of formula as Forza Horizon. You know, there's street race or cross. Country races and stuff like that. There's stuff to collect.
There is, but the thing is, I reckon the other thing I noticed actually, the game's actually based in Europe, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it is.
It's so sceneries are much better than what you had in the US when you have the Horizon 1.
I would say that first impressions, though, are positive.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's set across south of France and parts of northern Italy. And our first glimpses of the world of Forza Horizon 2 are filled with large and large landscapes spanning rolling hillsides, rocky cliff faces, and basically you can go anywhere you want.
So basically, yeah, we talk about this. It seems like a Top Gear thing where you just play Forza Horizon 2.
Yeah,
it's not like a Top Gear like road trip. Yeah, but you're open world, isn't it as well?
Yeah, it is open world as well.
Yeah, so it's quite nice that you can.
It would be good though if you can get your friends like to say you want the start off in France and then drive all the way through Italy or. Yeah, and that'd be really good.
There's another feature I heard about as well where it's like, do you know the avatar thing? The driver's avatar.
Oh, the drive tar.
How does that actually work? Like, you show your times and your...
Yeah, so basically drive tar works the same as Forza 5.
Yeah.
So obviously you play Forza 5 or whatever. So when you're not playing, your driver tar is still racing for you, earning credits and whatnot.
Ah, okay.
So when you come back, you say, oh, your driver tar has been in 6 races and you've been awarded 8,000 credits. And of course, when you're not online... But your friends are, they can see your driver tar in the lineup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's quite cool. So I never actually, I'm also not the biggest racing fan as well, which is quite weird. I'm not picky about my games. I do play a lot of games, but for Forza Horizon 2, I have played a bit of Forza Horizon, but I ended up basically with Stu here, we both basically played free roaming and trying to do that stupidly 800 miles.
Oh yeah, drive 800
between the two or three of us at the same time.
Yeah, that was going to take forever, wasn't it?
It was. So we just ended up just doing speed runs past speed cameras and crashing into each other. Actually, so it was a bit of it was quite fun actually. The first one, I mean, it's very arcadey. I mean, if you like sort of racing games with that kind of like elements to it, then yeah, fair enough. But I reckon there's lots of different cars. I did see the video you showed the trailers or all those different variation of cars.
Yeah, I think there's going to be 200 cars at launch. So
what's that car they use in the south in Dukes of Hazzard?
Oh, that's a Dodge, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, what do they call it?
The General Lee.
General Lee, yeah. I saw that in there on some of the demos and everything, and I thought that'd be quite funny. But yeah, it looks quite promising. I mean, racing fan wise, you probably enjoy it, but if not, you just free roam and just mess around, you know, in the south of France or Europe and everything else. So, you know, that's
what I also like as well is that you can actually turn online offline off.
Oh, can you?
By I think it's just pushing the D-pad.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you can like instantly go online with it.
Just by
tapping a button.
Nice.
But they have actually got that. They have actually got that in the demo, but it's not enabled on the game. You have to go into the menu and activate that.
Oh, okay. But it looks quite promising, doesn't it? In a way.
It does. I mean, you know, it looks beautiful. It's in full 1080p, and it's got all the usual. It runs at 60 frames. I know. Forza Horizon 2. Sorry, it's been cut to 30 frames, but because of full 1080p.
Mm.
And the Xbox 360 version is going to be just based on an up-rated version of the Forza 4 engine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you plan on getting on 360, then. Yeah, it would just be like running it on the same engine, like Forza Horizon or something.
Yeah, so basically if you get a next-gen console copy, then obviously that's different. It runs on a higher...
Yeah, definitely.
So it's much, much smoother
and
everything.
And of course, you've got the other connectivity. You got, you know, if you're playing on Xbox or PlayStation 4, you know, you can use the Twitch.
Mm.
And you can, like on Xbox, you can use to record that, record game clips and
yeah.
Share on PS4. Yeah, it looks promising. I mean, I've really enjoyed the original.
That's the main thing, yeah. But I definitely want to give it a go and review the game more
yeah.
when we actually do a multiplayer or something.
Definitely.
But that's another thing about racing games, isn't it? You can't do... Like, a lot of games nowadays...
Yeah,
always,
we were discussing this earlier.
Yeah, a lot of games, like in Destiny, you probably can't play on the same machine.
No, you can't, no.
Exactly, you have to play only on your machine. That's a shame. You were back in... Well, you were playing on the N64 recently.
Yeah, GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, I mean, that's a classic, but you can play all four players. I mean, yeah fair enough, you see each other's screen, you see where your location are, but it's still quite fun.
Yeah.
You know, what where's that gone, you know, in our way? And gaming's lost that, you know, little touch on that kind of...
I remember it used to be good to go around your mate's house and like, take your controller or game, and then you just sort of sit around playing it.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if Forza Horizon 2 has that kind of... You play two players on the same thing?
No. Nope.
Don't know. No, you can't.
No, you can't. No, I wrote an article, actually, I didn't write it. I posted it. I posted an article up on our Facebook page detailing some facts about Forza Horizon 2.
Okay.
So, but yeah, definitely play the demo later. And yeah, the demo is available to download from the Xbox Store.
Yeah, so you give us your views and see what you think about
Forza Horizon 2. It looks gorgeous. And if they can keep how I felt when Forza Horizon came out, I'd be very well happy. Because I'm a bit hard to please these days when it comes to games.
I know, racing games is kind of like, it's almost like the only people that actually play it are die-hard, like, you know, sort of petrol heads or car lovers or racing fans. You know, for me, in general, I probably would play it, but I wouldn't play it extensively to the point where, you know, like what you do, where you're trying to level up to, you
that's
know,
it.
I just go for achievements because I'm achieving for... Yeah, hunting for achievements all the time. That's what I do.
I'll tell you what, you also... I'll show it for you later. You must watch the intro. It's really good.
Well, it's cars. I don't drive myself, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, give us your feedback on what you think about Forza Horizon 2 and what you reckon it's going to be like, you know. All right, next subject. I reckon we should talk about Borderlands for a bit, actually. Sequel. It's coming out soon, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean... That game's always been... I mean, do you know what? I mean, first time I played Borderlands, right? It was Borderlands 2.
I'll tell you what, I didn't like Borderlands when I first played it.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just think I just couldn't really get into it. I mean, because I was playing... I think at the time I was playing Fallout.
Mm.
And that's what was sort of taking my attention away from other stuff.
Yeah, but you've never finished it.
But no. No, I didn't.
The Borderlands, I mean, I did play the second one first, which is quite weird, and I don't know what it was. What Stu said, I didn't really enjoy it as much as most RPG games. So I'm really big on RPG. I played, obviously, all the Bethesda's games, like all the Elder Scrolls, you know. Oblivion finished that, Skyrim finished that, Fallout 3 finished that, Fallout in Vegas, all those completely finished, I mean, 100%. Literally, I'm that obsessed. With Borderlands, I kind of didn't get into it, but eventually I met some people online, and I got really into it. But then what happened was, Stu got a copy of the first game, and I played through it all over again, through all the extra bits, and with Stu as well, as a group, and it was quite fun.
That was good.
It was better that way, isn't it? I mean, play it by yourself, it feels still... But no, seriously, I mean, it does got a really good storytelling.
Yeah.
It still tells a really good story, you know, that it keeps you going.
See, that game, when you used to bring up your console and your telly, and we used to play in the sitting room together, and then, you know, that's really good, you know, but, you know, I think that's probably the last time we've done that.
Exactly, yeah. But with Borderlands, I think you can play two players on one machine.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool. I'm not too sure. I've not heard a lot of news about it. All I know is obviously...
It's set between Borderlands 1 and 2, isn't it?
No, it's actually before
is
that.
Is it before?
Oh. It's before Pandora was colonised, in a way, where Jack was still alive, how he became who he is.
This Wikipedia entry is wrong.
Yeah, I think we should really... You know, but that's what I was talking about. Borderlands is pretty cool. I'm not sure what they'll bring with it. But the only thing I did find that's quite interesting is the gravitational thing. Because obviously the planet's not been colonised properly.
Yeah.
There's no gravity yet on the planet. So it's still a piece of rock thrown in space. So that's why you have the element where you start like jumping around like you do in Borderlands 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And driving around, you're actually floating around, and that's a new thing for Borderlands. Where 2K games actually bring that kind of like element into the actual game. But I still quite enjoy it. The jokes are really funny as well with the
there's some good jokes in it.
Yeah, with Claptrap, robot. He's a complete he's a bit of a bit annoying at sometimes, but. But I'm looking forward to, it's like Borderlands. I haven't heard a lot of news about it, but I reckon it will be quite a good game, because if you like Borderlands 1 and 2 as well, and jokes and the missions, and, I mean, the one mission I can never forget, right, it was really funny. It was taking it on, like, you're playing in a Dungeons & Dragons style, that Tiny Tina.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I've done that one yet.
It was so funny. Do you know why? Because one of the missions, you actually go in and... you're playing a board game, and everything she describes it changes into that. Basically, it's really the whole environment changes. Like, yeah, it was a very lovely and sparkly. Oh no, it's dark, gloomy, and the whole weather changes and everything's really cool. But it was quite funny. You're doing this one mission, trying to hunt for the legendary skeleton sword, but you have to do all these other things before that. And it was really weird. It's like three other people in there, but they're not actual NPCs, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
They're actually non-playable characters in the game. That's three of them, that they basically log it onto Dungeons & Dragons where you are.
God.
I know, this is the funny bit. Basically, you got to shoot each of these other NPCs, supposedly. Like, you got to do the first one, a headshot.
Yeah.
Second one, punch his eyes out. And the third one, kill him and teabag him. You see, I love that about... That's what I love about the DLC. It's so funny. I mean, this didn't take this game seriously. Teabagging, an enemy just to finish the mission. Genius.
You get an achievement for that?
You do. But you get achievement for, obviously, the challenges. But obviously that comes on stacking onto the achievement as well.
I remember we used to spawn. We keep spawning our... What was the boss called?
Oh, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Comrex.
Yeah, Comrex, for all the weapons and stuff. Loot.
And then the second one was... what the heck was it? I can't remember the second one, actually. It was a massive thresher. That's called something. But, yeah, I mean, so I'm really looking forward to, Borderlands, pre-sequel coming out, actually, soon in October. So
yeah, October 17th is out on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
Yeah. You, what are your thoughts on that, anyway?
Well, I will definitely play it.
If I'm here,
If you're here, I'll play it. If not, I'm not... that bothered about it, but if you want to do co-op, then we'll do that. That'd be quite cool.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely definitely do some co-op, and we'll talk more about the game, but also give us your thoughts as well at the same time.
As always, just follow the links at the end of the podcast. Also, if you've got if you're listening to this on an iPhone or an iTunes, this podcast is actually advanced, so you'll be able to click on the pictures, you'll be able to see the pictures, what we're talking about, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, should we take a quick break before we go to the last subject?
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Let's talk about, let's touch on the new iOS that came out today.
Okay, go on. You know more than I do.
iOS 8 was released yesterday, actually, by... Apple. What they did, they staggered the release, so obviously the servers weren't overloaded. And at first glance, not much going on, really. A quick couple of features is, hang on, let me just go into my phone here. just double tap on the home button, brings up your favorites or recents, and then you can just select one of your favorites, and then it gives you options to phone, message, or FaceTime. But a feature what I really like is the time-lapse camera.
Which I had a view on. It's quite interesting, actually, how that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. I mean, I did a video earlier, and I showed Nikki. And And yeah, it works really, really well. But you have to leave it a long time to get any like decent effect. I mean, I managed to compress a whole 15-minute journey home into about 28 seconds.
Which is pretty cool, actually.
It's pretty cool when you watch it. It's on our YouTube channel, actually, if you want to go check it out. Links at the end of the podcast. Let's quickly touch on also Tokyo Game Show.
Yes.
That's happening this week. Most notable, Final Fantasy 15 and Final Fantasy Type-0.
I know, I was very looking forward to that. I mean, obviously, it's been a long time going, isn't it? I mean, during the Type-0, it was originally called Versus 13.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was a game that made for PSP, but obviously now they thought, we're not going to put it on the PSP anymore, so the game Type-0 originally was Versus 13, is going to be on like the consoles.
Oh, my thought was that Final Fantasy Versus 13 is now Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, no. That was 15, just the 15. After all the 13. I mean, 13 was just basically dragged that way too long. I played all three of them and destroyed all three of them myself.
Yeah, I am just about to finish the first game.
And now they've got two more coming up. 15, we're not sure when that's going to release, but we've seen some trailers and it looks pretty promising.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to get hold of the demo in March.
Actually, that's release date. 17th of March, apparently.
It's for Type-0, isn't it?
Yeah, Type-0. Yeah. Which
comes with the Final Fantasy 15.
Exactly. So we'll be probably talking more about that later on when it comes out. But if it's anything like Final Fantasy 13, then I don't know. I'll probably just play it for the achievements and not play it for the gameplay or story. But at the end of the day, Square Enix do want to tell a story. They're really good at doing that. That's what RPGs are good for, Square Enix games, you know, again, in a way. And then I think Type-0 is talking about, it's almost like Academy, isn't it? Look like.
Yeah, it looks like it's going back to like Final Fantasy 8, maybe.
Yeah, Star of Fire, yeah. I mean, the thoughts from what I gathered from some previews of, they tried demo. It wasn't really cleaned up, but they said they are going to clean it up with some camera work and everything, but it's just got loads of things that got sort out, but hopefully that will be as promising as for the days to come for RPG gamers. JRPG gamers, actually. But yeah, similar to Tokyo Game Show, is all about just flaunting Japanese title games and everything else. I mean, obviously, talk about the here's the other thing I looked at as well, as the Metal Gear Solid. Yeah, they even talk about the Phantom Pain, actually.
Yeah, they got 20 minutes, haven't they? Playthrough
game demo. Have you played Ground Zero, actually, or...?
I did play it for a little bit. I died, and then I just gave up, because I couldn't be bothered with it, to be honest.
So it seems like, Kojima's still going towards, you know, sort of making more Metal Gear.
I said, they have announced a Metal Gear White PlayStation 4 that looks quite nice.
Actually, Destiny have the same PlayStation 4 as
well. Destiny, white PlayStation bundle.
Yeah, that was quite promising. But Tokyo Game Show, at the end of the day, I mean, the big notice thing is obviously just at moments, so it's Final Fantasy and Metal Gear Solid. But that's about it. I mean, probably going to obviously talk more about the Super Smash Bros. Or in Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, so also the director, I believe the director of Final Fantasy 15, he's moved to work on Kingdom Hearts 3 as well.
Oh, wow.
So
that's been dragging on for a while, hasn't it?
Man, it's too long.
I know, yeah.
I mean, Kingdom Hearts 2.5 for HD, I think that's out in December.
Mm.
So
it's still got to 3, which is quite annoying in certain ways, you know. But that's what you have to do. If you're a big fan of those kind of like RPG like I am, then you're probably looking forward to that, I reckon, in a way. So
that's it.
We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I reckon you could give us our thoughts on what you reckon the next big thing for those Japanese Tokyo Game Show is going to be all about.
That's it. You can contact us on our Facebook page. You can watch us stream on Twitch, and you can watch some of our videos we stuck up on YouTube. Links and that are at the end of the podcast. But I think we're going to wrap it up now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. So,
alrighty. Well, thanks for listening.
Exactly. And as always, we've got to finish this little thing. We've got to send our love to our friend.
Yeah, hello, James.
James Daly, yeah, that's right. You know it's you.
This is James Daly time.
Exactly. This is for you as well. So don't forget us when you're listening to this.
That's it.
And we won't forget you.
That's it. Download it. Download it now.
Exactly. All right. Thanks again, guys. All right. We'll see you in the next episode.
All right. Catch you later, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.